Hello and welcome to the Jim Baker Family Show, coming to you from the village of Morningside, USA, snuggled in the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today, our special guest is author and pastor of Hickory Hammock Baptist Church, Pastor Carl Gallops. Our co-hosts today are Maricela Woodall and Mondo De La Vega. And now, live from Gray Street at Morningside, USA, here's your host, Ricky Baker.
Hello, you're watching Jim Baker's PTL Television Network. We have an exciting broadcast for you today. We have Pastor Carl Gallops.
Thank you, Brother Ricky. It's good to be here.
Pastor Carl Gallops, you come all the way from Florida, where you pastor a church called Hickory Hammock Baptist Church.
Yeah. Well, we call it Hickory Hammock Church. We're not ashamed of being Baptist, but you know, I mean, but listen, every denomination is kind of going downhill in a lot of ways.
So
we're all about Jesus, the Word of God, making the Word relevant and all that. So, yes. And the name of the church is odd for people that don't, you know, Hickory Hammock.
What's
a Hickory Hammock? Yeah. It's the name of a road.
Okay,
so, you know, Thomas Road Baptist Church, you know, Hickory Hammock, because it's on a road and it's a major thoroughfare to the beaches. So everybody in that area knows it. This year is the 100th year of its anniversary.
Oh, wow.
And I've been there 38 of those years.
38
years.
Incredible. Yeah.
Pastor, what is it like to pastor the same church for 38 years?
Yeah. Overall, there are more blessings than anything else because when I went there, I held babies that were being born that are now 38. Now, I did their marriages. I was there when their children were born, and I've done some of the weddings of their children.
Wow.
Amen.
Yeah.
All
and
the
in the meantime,
45.
New people are coming in. Do what?
All at the age of 45.
I'm 45 years old. I don't know how that works out like that, but praise be unto God. It's a miracle.
That's right.
It's the makeup for the Jim Baker Show. That's what it is.
We want to thank you. We know over the years you have supported the Jim Baker Show. You've supported the PTL Television Network. You have been a crucial part of this family. Even we were sharing stories before, even when Pastor Jim was out in Florida, they had gotten COVID at the time. He said, he called you and said, hey, can you come help host this show, the Jim Baker Show, and you did faithfully. Yeah. So we want to thank you for that, Pastor. You've been a friend to the
Thank you. I don't want to be each other's fan club, but let me just say, y'all, it's my honor. You guys have honored me. You guys have opened the world to me for platforms of ministry. Literally, you really did. I remember your dad, the first time I came on, he had read a book of mine and thought it was really cool. He called my publisher and they called me and said, would you go on the Jim Baker Show? I said, sure. I've been watching him when he was a kid. I know who he is. I know his life and everything.
Right.
And I'd be glad to. And so I come in, I get in the green room. He walks in, he says, I don't know you. I don't have a clue who you are. And I said, I like it that way.
He said,
I like you. But he said, but I've read your book. I've never met you. Why have I never met you?
Right.
I said, it doesn't matter. I said, if you're going to have me on today, if you never have me back again, I'll be blessed. And so he didn't say, well, we'll have you back. Of course. He didn't know.
You wouldn't say that until after the interview.
So after the interview. So anyway, I'll never forget that. Mm. But I can also remember that interview. Your dad leaned over and whispered in my ear, and he seemed to really, we gelled. And the book I had written, he loved.
Yes.
I didn't know that. When I first saw him back there, he had tabs, sticky notes, and yellow marks. I'm thinking, he's going to tear me up, tell me what a horrible theologian I am or something. But he just goes on and on and on, but he leans over, and he says, God's using this show. He says, your ministry world is going to open up for you.
Amen.
Well, that book went to top 60 on Amazon and stayed there. Top 60 out of all the books they sell.
Wow.
Not just in one category.
That's right.
Top 60 and stayed that way for months. Mm. And I got phone calls from everywhere to be on shows and stuff.
Amen.
And it sort of broadened the
Praise
platforms.
God.
So it all started here.
Amen.
So while you're thanking me, I'm saying, oh my gosh, no, it's the other way around. Now, Mondo hasn't helped.
I mean, the whole church audience said amen. Well, that's the reason Pastor Jim Baker created the PTL Television Network. It has been an honor to help continue to push that forward into new technologies. We've been thriving, Nena. The PTL Television Network, our apps, we are on Apple TV, we're on Roku, we're on video on demand. Anywhere that you can watch the television show, we want to be in your pocket. Why? Because like this, Pastor Gallops, it's so important that Pastor Jim his message has always been to give the prophet known and unknown the platform to come and share that word.
Praise
Pastor, you know, at that time you were unknown.
I was.
Now you are known. There's not a place that I go where I feel like they don't know who Pastor Carl Gallup is.
So
and that is because God used this book. Now, you've written many other books since then. You wrote Gods and Thrones.
I've written 12 other books.
12 other books since
more.
Then? Praise God.
Yeah. I've done some ghostwriting for other authors too.
Yeah. All right.
So all of that began right here.
Amen.
Right here, when Jim Baker walked in the green room, says,
Who are you?
I don't even know you.
That's right. You know what's really important about that, Pastor, is that's the power of somebody's yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody's yes to say, hey, you know what, I read this book. You know, even at this point, you know, they don't have a name. Why would I have them on this nationally syndicated show? But Pastor Jim listens to the Holy Spirit, has an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And he says, when the, you know, God says, do something, he says yes.
Right.
That is the power of yes. And believer, somebody's watching right now. I believe that you need to say yes to the Holy Spirit.
Jesus.
The Holy Spirit's prompting for you to do something. You need to walk with him intimately in every single aspect. Now, I will say this, believer, if the Holy Spirit does not tell you to do something, don't do it.
That's right.
And if the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, do it. Why? Because your intimate relationship with Jesus is absolutely vital in everything you do. We truly believe that we're living in the end times. Pastor, I know that we share some common theology there.
Yes.
We can see it open up the last few books of the Bible, specifically the last one, the book of Revelation, and then cross-reference it to all the other New Testament and Old Testament books and realize, oh my goodness, the season is upon us where the Lord Jesus Christ will probably be coming back soon. And Pastor, what does it say that the world's condition is going to look like whenever Jesus is coming back? It's not all going to be
it's
rainbow.
It's going to look like our world.
Right.
That's right.
The prophecies are there. In fact, in Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter, the first chapter of each book, you can tell Peter, he's writing to all the churches, to the saints scattered abroad. So he's writing to them. But you can tell that he's still just overwhelmed by what he's been through in the years past.
That's right.
What he's been through now. When he writes those books, he's been the pastor of the first church in downtown Jerusalem, born at Pentecost.
Yes.
He, James, and John, he's the chief pastor. Now he's writing a letter to all the other churches, to the people scattered abroad throughout the Roman Empire and even outside of it. And those letters are being circulated. But I can see him slapping his forehead. He says, now, in our lifetime, we now have the words of the prophets made more certain.
That's right.
He said, we were there. And I'm going to paraphrase, but this is what he said. We were there when he did the miracles. We were there when he calmed the wind and the waves. We were there on the holy mountain when the voice of God came. We were there at the crucifixion. We were there at the resurrection. We were there when the church was born.
Wow.
We were there when the Holy Spirit was given. And all of those things were prophecies written only in one book on the planet, guys.
That's right.
Nothing else. I'm not disparaging any other faith, but I can tell you the Quran has nothing like this.
That's
the
right.
Hindu Vedas has nothing like this. The teachings of Buddha, nothing like this. Even the ramblings of Nostradamus, nothing like what's in this book.
Amen.
It is unbelievable.
Yes,
it's humanly impossible, but it's all come about. And so Peter says to his church, think of this. He says, it would do you well to pay attention to this.
Right.
So I take away from that several decades after the church is born, a lot of them were still excited and understood who they were, but some of them
weren't paying attention. That's right.
Ooh. They were fighting over who's going to sing the solo this Sunday or who's got the biggest badge or who's got the biggest Sunday school class.
Yeah.
And he says, guys, stop.
That's
Do
right.
you know who we are?
Yeah.
Amen.
We're
yeah.
the ones that
yeah.
Jesus picked to
Amen.
Live with him,
Amen.
Minister with him, to experience the whole thing. And now we're the pastors and people of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
It would do you well to pay attention to the times you're living in. Well, that was the first great boom of prophecy, the coming of Christ, fulfilling prophecies that were hundreds and hundreds, some of them thousands of years old. Psalm 22, David says, they have pierced my hands and my feet. They gamble for my clothing. My tongue sticks to the roof of my... In a vision or something, he was taken to the foot of the cross.
Yeah. That's right.
Wow.
He saw it.
That's
he
right.
heard the words. They mock me. They stare. They say, he saved others. Let him save himself. None of this happened to David. He saw it. David wrote that 1,000 years
before
the crucifixion. And Jesus quoted the first verse.
Wow. Right.
My God, my God,
right.
why have you forsaken me?
No other book like it.
And I'm going to tell you something else, guys. Think of this. This is how we know it in English. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from delivering me? That's the first verse. Do you know what's in that first verse in Hebrew? The name of Jesus, Yeshua, is in there. So far from delivering me, the word Yeshua, because it speaks of deliverance or salvation, is right in the middle of a word. He read from the first verse that describes what's happening to him, and that first verse contains his name.
Yes. Wow.
Amen.
I mean, you go on and on, and I've written several books. I'm not here to sell any books. I'm just saying, I know what I'm talking about. I've researched this. I've referenced this stuff from scholars.
That's right.
You go on and on with these kinds of revelations, and you run right into, this is impossible. Unless it's the word of God.
Unless it is. And this is the word of God.
And so Peter was doing that to his generation. That's the first boom. The second boom is the things that have happened, watch this, only in our historical generation. For 2,000 years, these things didn't happen, but yet they were all prophesied in the Bible. That's the return of Israel to the Middle East, the return of Jerusalem as the capital city, the exponential explosion of technology. Daniel talked about it. Jesus talked about it. I can prove it if you want me to a little bit later. Revelation talks about it.
Amen.
Those are last days things that started happening in 1950. All the scientific sites will tell you that. Well, what happened in 1950? Well, 2 years earlier, World War II was ended, and Israel became a nation.
That's right.
And after Israel comes, that's the second boom of prophecy. There are 50 prophecies between Deuteronomy and Zechariah. The first prophecy of the return of Israel was out of the mouth of Moses, who hadn't even stepped into the promised land, but he talked about their whole future in chapter 29 and chapter 30. And he says, but in the last days, I'm going to bring them from all the nations and I'll bring you back.
Amen.
They hadn't even gone
they
in yet.
Gone. Yes. That's right.
Wow.
So he's in a spirit of prophecy. Zechariah, he prophesies chapter 8, chapter 10, chapter 12, he prophesies about the nations surrounding Jerusalem in the last days.
That's where we're seeing.
Why would the nations surround Jerusalem if they owned it? It's because they, in the last days, they won't own it.
That's right.
Well, who will own it? A returned Israel.
Amen.
And so we're the only generation to see all of that and to see this exponential growth. Daniel, oh my gosh, if we have time for that, I'll give you a word study, a Hebrew word study, of what he actually said, and the way those words are translated in English or in all the translations are not as accurate, watch this, as they are used everywhere else in the Bible except there. And there's a reason why, because people couldn't fathom it. It was science fiction. They could not fathom it.
Right.
So they kind of calmed the words down a little bit, and people have fought for years over, what does that mean, what does that mean? And the meaning is right there, if you know the Hebrew.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I do. I know the Hebrew there. And I verified it with Brother Zev Peratt from Israel. He speaks Hebrew as his first language. When I showed him, he said, no. He said, thank you. You're the only other preacher I've heard talk about it. He says, you're right. That's when we speak Hebrew, we use the words just like you said. And they're not written that way in English.
Wow.
So that's there. Jesus speaks of exponential explosion of technology.
And we're seeing that.
And we're seeing it. You know, what I love is when one of the things he said, and this gospel of the kingdom will be being, as the Greek means it's continually, preached to all the nations, and then the end will come. So he's talking about the last days, which means he's talking about at least our days and forward. So what did he say about our days? Well, there's 8 billion people on the planet and almost 200 nations in the world. And Jesus said, but in those days, the gospel's going to be going to all 8 billion, all 200, 24/7.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. And it's now happening. We're the only generation. Amen. Internet technology that was prophesied is driving it.
That's right.
You guys will do a show. People will watch live, and then they'll watch soon after, and then it'll be archived all over the place, and then it goes to some network programming, and it goes on and on. I came into my church one Sunday to preach, and places packed out, and down the front row, the children's choir was going to sing, and I know all those kids. I was there when they were born, you know, almost everybody in the church, I was there. But anyway, I was sitting, and one little boy about 9 years old, he looks at me and says, hey, and I said, well, hey, it's right before the service. He says, what are you doing here? I said, I'm the preacher. And everybody died laughing. He said, no, I just saw you on TV a minute ago at home.
Yeah.
And I said, power of the media, the power of the technology, 24/7.
That's right.
We're the only ones.
And then you add social media. You're on every clip on TikTok, Instagram. I mean, it goes viral. Every time they grab a portion of this program,
I know.
People distribute it on their own platforms. Yeah. Listen, we are watching. This is why you love Pastor Carl. I want to mention this because you love how biblical he is when it comes to the message of the gospel.
Yes. Praise God.
This is a dangerous territory where we are because most preachers today don't use the word. I'm talking about preachers that people follow, people, you know, by the masses going here. And I'm not going to.
The poll say it. Barna poll says it. You're not just making this
no,
up.
No, I'm not
the
making
Barna
none
poll
of this
says
up.
It. The Pew poll say it. They are self relating polls. They ask the pastors, do you preach on this, this, and this? And they say, no. Why? Because we don't want to lose people. Wow. Why? Yeah. Because we lose money.
That's it.
That's right.
I'm telling you, about 80% of the pastors answer that way. We're in a mess.
Listen,
y'all.
I was I'm not even going to tell you where I was. I was invited to go to this meeting, and the guy, you know, doing all the meeting, I know them personally. They watch the show and they, oh, we want to see you. Okay, I'll be there. And there was a great move of God. There was such a great move of God. My knee got healed last night.
Amen.
My daughter's knees and her calves got healed last night. You understand what I'm saying? There was the power. You cannot mess with the power of the Holy Spirit of healing. And there was thousands of people in that room.
Wow. Thank you, Jesus.
My daughter, I took my daughter last night and I said, I want you to come with me. Everywhere I go, listen, parents, wherever you go, take your children with you.
Yes.
Let them be a part of the move of God.
You,
don't exclude them from what God is doing in your life.
That's right.
Lord,
let them see the power of the Holy Spirit.
My daughter came with me and I said, I want you to, and then I might drive up there. She's asking me, why is there a special move of God there? And I said, well, listen, what happened at Pentecost? And I began to explain to her, and I'm preparing her spirit. And all of a sudden, in the car, the move of God began to take place, preparing for what we were about to encounter, the move of God in this place. You couldn't listen, the atmosphere. I can feel it right now.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
But when the preacher stood up to speak, I was anticipating because I love the word. I love the word of God. It's what saved my life. This is why we love you, because you preach
the
word.
I love you guys. Thank you for
letting me. Whole entire 3 hours of the sermon was story after story after story and nothing of the gospel.
There you go. There
it's
is
dangerous territory to me.
There is, Paul talked about doctrines of demons, you know, coming in.
We've got
whole denominations that have sunk into the sewer of political correctness because of doctrines of demons. So you started asking me, you know, where are we in all this? We are in an unprecedented generation. I'm comparing it to the first boom of prophecy with Peter going, oh my gosh, y'all need to pay attention. And I'm saying the same thing to today's generation because Israel's back, Jerusalem's back. Technology explosion. Before the gospel's going all over the world. Everything everybody said would be the markers of the last days is here.
Wow.
And I'm saying to the church, it would do you well to pay attention to this.
To pay attention. That's right.
Yeah.
Before we began the broadcast, I was praying. So Holy Spirit, you know, what is there a passage you want me to read? And open up to 1 Peter chapter 4.
There you go.
There is no coincidence with
the
Holy Spirit.
No.
And he led me to verse 11 where I have it highlighted, I have it underlined. It says, if anyone speaks, let it be as the one who speaks God's word.
That's it.
If anyone serves, let it be from the strength that God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him be the glory and the power forever
and ever.
Amen. I believe in no coincidences. I believe that's a word for somebody today. If there is a word that needs to leave your mouth, in short, it is the word of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are living in a time where it is too short. We can no longer meander and have pointless conversations. I was just having this conversation with a friend. The time is too short, believer. We can no longer sit and have wayside conversations. We need to ensure that we are evangelizing. We need to ensure that we are spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Why?
Yes.
And you know what? When I say around the world, you may not have a platform like the television platform, and that's okay. Around your world, believer. Your world. Exactly. Everybody, I'd say most people have Facebook. Most people have Instagram. Most people have a YouTube account, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Pastor, your world is constantly ever expanding. Somebody can get on Facebook. They can go on Facebook Live. They can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what? It can go around the world.
Yes, and we need to take advantage of it before they,
the
rulers that are coming, according to Revelation,
That's
shut
right.
it down.
Don't go away. We'll be right back after this special message.
And I am absolutely blown away by not only the variety, but the flavorfulness of these products. Yes.
And the heartiness. That's the thing that I love is when you're looking at preparedness and you're looking at what are items we've always talked about on the show here. What are some food extenders that you can add to your other preparedness goals, like gardens, the up to 20-year shelf life food. Also, too, the freeze-dried beef that we've just introduced. Eggs. There's different things that you can do. But I love the number one thing that Pastor Jim has always said. He's like, we have to provide food that is hearty, that will fill the bellies of the people that you're trying to feed. And so that's what this food does. What you're watching on the screen right now, this is the family pack bucket. And there are 17 different varieties of food included in here. Some of those items that you see on the screen, there's sweet habanero chili with pineapple, rice pilaf, black bean soup, the classic chili, the cheesy potato soup, oatmeal and brown sugar. But what I love is when you sit here and you look at these recipes, you can add more water to expand it and allow it to extend that you could feed more, or you can allow less water so that it's more hearty if you're feeling like you need to really feed the bellies of those that you're cooking for. And so this is the enchilada rice and beans, one of our favorites, but the flavors are incredible. And the easiness, that's the thing, is when you're in preparedness mode, you have to have something that is easy.
Crazy,
you have to have something. And all this food takes is you open it up, you pour water, you boil the water, and you cook it. That's it. You don't have to add anything else. You don't need any other spices. You don't need anything else. It is ready to go within minutes. And so this is the family pack. Right now, as you're watching, I want to encourage you. This is a brand new affiliate site that we've just launched, a brand new partnership with Daniel and Tristan. And so I want you to go to our website. That website is jimbakershow.com. Click on Shop Our Affiliates. There's a big red banner on the top of our website. Click on that new Manna affiliate. And what I love is not only what you're seeing here on the screen that we're offering, but you can also order one bucket, 3 buckets, 6 buckets, 12 buckets. There's many options. Plus, there's organic buckets. There's no gluten buckets. And then, of course, there's also more additional. There's the
Defender pack, too.
That's right. There's the milk if you want to order that. But remember, here's the key. Up to 25-year shelf life. So this is something that you can have up to 25 years in your pantry, in your basement. Make sure you're storing it properly. And I love that you guys talk about that. You have to store the food properly. They give you those instructions. But as you're watching, I want you to call that toll-free number on the screen. That number is 1-888-988-1588. Call our toll-free operators. They're standing by. They will help you talk through all the selections and all the options that we have available.
Now, John, you are our news director here at Morningside. Yes, you do a tremendous job as well. I've had so many people reach out and say, we love the news that we get on the Jim Baker Show. And John, we want to thank you for doing such a great job with that. But John, you actually had said something right before the show that shocked me. And I want you to tell the people again what you told me.
Well, you know, as we're sitting here talking about it, we're making some chili over here. And it kind of came back to my mind, Ricky, that as of this year, one of the big problems that our country's seeing is there's a huge dependency on food banks.
That's yes. Right.
And I think, you know, a lot of people ask, they're like, what can I do? How can I get prepared? Some think, you know, they want to get more political. They want to become activists. And I say, make the change in your home.
Yes.
Start with being able to provide for your food for your family, be able to maybe even provide for a neighbor or a friend or family.
Yeah, right.
I think churches need to do that.
Yeah.
I think we're seeing in that report, they're saying they're seeing more new families looking for a place that they can go and get food.
I know they all said, well, we were telling the mosque and synagogues to do this too, but you never heard them speak of that. It was always the churches.
Church.
You're kidding. Right. You're going to kill everybody. You conservative Christians, you're going to kill us all. Well, how'd that work out?
Right.
Here we are.
That's
and we're still going.
Yeah.
So that was a taste of how quickly. And I'm not judging any church or any pastor, because some churches under all kind of horrific penalties needed to. Some churches maybe had a very elderly population and nobody knew where this was going and they made the decision to close. So I'm not judging anybody. I'm just going to report the statistics from our history. The government spoke and the churches said, yes, sir. And then they said, we'll wait till you tell us what to do.
Wow. Mm.
By and large, that happened. That was a foreshadowing, I believe, of what's around the corner.
Wow.
That's the beast system. That's how it works. Except once they get all the tracking in place, once they get all the technology that they already have, and they're souping it up even more in place, their goal, here's why. This is Satan's world, guys.
That's right.
This is Satan's world. He is the prince of this world, Jesus said. Jesus is the king, Melech HaMelechim, the king of kings. Melech HaElom, the king of the universe. Yeah. That's who he is. But Satan is a prince who stole this domain for a while. Jesus bought it back at Calvary.
Yeah. Amen.
He bought it back with an empty tomb. He is coming again. But in the meantime, when you find yourself asking, what's going on with this world? It's crazy. Yes, it is crazy.
Right.
It's like the demonic is winning. Well, in their realm, they are. This is Satan's world. But our battle is not against, flesh should I blood. Quote this again?
Please, yes.
Flesh and blood.
Yes. Yes.
But it's against the powers of the unseen realms.
Amen.
But greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Because you are my ambassador, said Jesus.
Amen.
You are my witnesses, said Jesus. Amen. You are a kingdom of priests, said Jesus.
That's right.
Oh my gosh. That's who we are. That's why Peter looked at his generation and says, you better pay attention. Don't you know who we are? And I'm saying to this generation, pay attention to what's happening. Yes. Don't you know who you are?
Amen. Yes. Don't you know
Quit fighting at church. Quit fighting each other. We're fighting powers in the unseen realms, and it's all caving in on us. All of the prophecies of the end times are right before us. I don't set dates. I don't have a clue. But I would imagine there are people alive on this planet now that will see the coming of the Lord. And they might be the little children in a generation or two from now. But I just think there are people alive that, in other words, every 100 years, the whole earth is cleansed.
Yes.
In other words, if I'm born here, 100 years later, somewhere in between there, I'm already gone to be with the Lord. I'm gone. And almost everybody else on the planet is. So I'm saying if somebody was born a few years ago, whatever, within 100 years, if somebody's being born now, within 100 years from now, I'm saying, I think the Lord's going to return.
Wow.
Just because all of the prophecies
we're seeing it.
Of the explosion of the big boom number two. Big boom number three is Jesus returns.
Yeah. That's right.
The first big boom, he's coming, he's going to the cross. Second big boom, Israel's coming back. And you know why? Because God says in most of those 50 prophecies, he says, I will do this in those days to show the nations that I am God.
Yes.
It's a witness.
Amen.
It's a witness. Wow. The church is a witness to the world. The return of Israel is a geographical, political witness to the world. Israel's not perfect. They have the largest gay pride parade on the whole planet, Sodom and Gomorrah, 70 miles from Jerusalem. They're not a perfect place, but it is the place God put his people. It's from where the word of God came, the prophets of God came, the prophecies. It's where our Lord was crucified and resurrected.
Wow.
There's something powerful about that spot. I'm convinced it's ground zero. I'm convinced God, the Garden of Eden was there. I'm convinced when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, see these gardens?
Yeah.
He kneels and prays and said, not my will, but yours. Those words reversed the curse of what happened in the garden. Because in the garden, Satan, Adam, and Eve looked at God and said, not your will anymore, ours.
Ours.
Jesus is called the second Adam.
That's right.
In the scriptures. And Paul talks about the first Adam came and lost it all. The second Adam came and got it all back.
Amen.
Yeah.
Paul says that. Now, if that's so, now this is a little bit of biblical speculation I'm going to do, but there are renowned scholars, I started to say who agree with me. No, I agree with them. They wrote before me, but there are renowned scholars who also understood this and wrote about it. So I'm going to go ahead and say it because I believe it also. I could be wrong. But when Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane that night, he did everything on the Mount of Olives. They slept there. They prepared there. Before he came into Jerusalem, he was in Bethany on the Mount of Olives.
Yes.
He came down. I'm convinced he was crucified there. I've written books about it. Zev Perot's written. He lives there. He's gone to the sites. He understands. The whole thing is such. Where is he coming back? On the Mount of Olives.
Yeah.
I mean, everything. It's ground zero. And the point is, before he went to the cross, within that next 24 hours, he'd be on the cross. He goes, he takes the disciples to the Garden of Eden, and he says, you stay here. I'm going over there.
That's right.
Like to a spot, a certain spot. This is God in the flesh. Do you think he knows what that spot, the significance of that spot is? He goes to that spot. The Bible says they were about a stone's throw away. In our minds, we think, oh, they're just 15 feet. I can throw a stone 50 yards, guys. They were a good ways away. And they fell asleep. They probably didn't even hear his words. They got kind of bored and tired and fell asleep. But he is a stone's throw away. That's a good distance. And he's battling. Sweat turns to blood. The capillaries burst in his foreheads from the straining and the praying and the crying and the weeping. And he's praying. And finally, obviously, he's under temptation. The Bible says he was tempted in every way we are, yet without sin. He's the creator of the universe. Borei ha'olam, the creator of the universe. And he knows he does not have to do this if he doesn't want to. Who's he going to get in trouble with? It's his. He knows he doesn't have to. It's his love for what he's done. It's his love for you. He saw us.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
And so he battled and he battled and he said, he knew what this was. He knew what that beating was going to be. He knew what a crucifixion was.
That's right.
He takes a deep breath. Blood trickling down his face, and he says, nevertheless, I'm going to reverse this curse. Not my will, but the throne of heavens, O Lord. And then he goes to the cross and pays for it.
Amen.
And he rises from the grave to prove to us who he is. Now we have a choice. The bottom line is ground zero, the curse has been reversed, but in the meantime, it is Satan's stolen world. Revelation 12.
That's right.
12. Woe unto you, earth, in these days, because Satan has been thrown down. But he knows his time is short. He is filled with rage. Can you see his rage?
Yeah.
We can see all around us.
And this is what's happening. So we don't give up.
That's right.
We don't give up. Greater is he. In fact, when Paul writes, and he writes in 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Thessalonians 5, he writes about the thief in the night. He says, but this day of coming of the Lord won't overtake you like a thief in the night. Lost people will be. He says, but you're children of the light.
Amen.
He says, you will not suffer the wrath of God. You will not. And then he says, therefore, encourage each other with these words. Yeah. Peter says, how about pray to speed its coming?
Amen.
Oh, Lord, let it come. And that shouldn't be a surprise to us, because how did Jesus teach us how to pray? Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done
one day soon on earth as it is now in heaven. He taught us to pray. Yes. We just say it like a little magic thing in our churches. Yes. Our Father who art in heaven, everybody say it. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Come on, you know the rest of it. That's not what it is.
Wow.
He says, here's your attitude. Pray like this.
Yes.
I know this is Satan's world. I know I'm an ambassador for you. I know you've put me here on purpose. I know you've already provided for my salvation. Thank you, Jesus. I couldn't have done it. So please, Lord, hurry up.
Yeah.
We are ready for King Jesus.
Yes.
We are ready for King Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
You know, Pastor Carl, I'm sitting here and I'm listening to you, and I just hear my little girl's voice. I have a 6-year-old little girl. Her name is Natalie. And for the past 6 months, every day and every night, she asked me one question. Day and night, literally, she wakes up and she asks me the question. She says, Mom, when is Jesus coming back? When is he coming back, Mom? You said that he's coming back. When is Jesus coming back, Mom? Yeah, so there'll be days where we had rain yesterday and the sun starts to pop through those clouds. And she comes running to me and she says, Mom, is Jesus coming back? Is he coming back?
Amen.
And you know the word that I have to give her, but every time she does that, Pastor, and as you were so beautifully sharing Jesus on that cross, and we're in resurrection time. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus.
He is coming back.
In that moment, I look and I see this child. The Lord says to have a childlike spirit. I see this child who is literally yearning and asking the Lord, when are you coming back, Lord? When, Lord? And the thing that I would encourage, I believe that just like this child, you know, we yearn for that. We ask God, Lord, when are you coming back? But there's many times where this is my response to my little 6-year-old little girl. I say, Natalie, I promise you Jesus is coming back. I promise you that in his perfect timing,
That's right.
That he is coming back. But until he does.
Live for him. Yeah.
You know why, Jesus, sometimes you might think that he's taking too long when we see this world all around us. But I told her, I said, every day that we see this, every day that he hasn't come back, Natalie, that means that you and I, he's asking us, because there's people who are lost.
Amen.
There are people who
Amen.
Don't know Jesus. And he is asking us, have we shared Jesus with everyone that we possibly can? Have we shared the gospel of That's Jesus right. Christ? Have we tried to reach out to them with love? And I teach my little girl that I'm like, Natalie, the reason why Jesus didn't come today is because he does not want one person to perish and to go to hell, Natalie. So that's our job. Your friends, and I teach her this, and that's a word for us who are watching. That's for us believers. We cannot give up. This is the time where we have to let our light shine, the light of Jesus,
Amen.
The Holy Spirit. We have to say, Lord, open up doors for me, Lord. The reason why Jesus has not come back is because how many countless souls are still lost?
That's right.
How many countless souls have still not come into the kingdom of Jesus? So I encourage you, if you're watching this show today, my prayer is, Lord, will you give me opportunities, Jesus? Will you open my eyes, Lord? Give me eyes to see those who need to hear and see the love of Jesus, those who need to have a touch. Do you know that there's many times, and the Lord had a moment where he really corrected me. He said, there's many times where people will say to you, you know, my back is aching. They'll tell you I'm having a hard time. My husband's in the hospital. And you know what our response is typically in the church? We say, well, you know what? I'm going to be praying for you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that this is happening. I'm
then
praying
you
for you. And
day.
You walk around, yeah. you walk away.
I usually try to stop
but
right
now. But do you know the Lord told me,
everything.
He yeah. said, did you just walk away from an opportunity that I gave you? I opened
right.
up that door for you, and that person was pleading, almost crying out in their own way. And that was a moment
yeah.
that
that's
all
right.
of us, we experience
that's
that
right.
we can do and use
She's
this in our daily
from
lives.
Scriptures.
Yes,
I want to confirm what you're saying. I just flipped over
yes.
two pages, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Excuse me,
yes.
I'm going to start with verse 9. It says, the Lord does not delay his promise,
That's
as some
it.
Understand
oh,
delay, but
you,
is patient
yes.
with you, not wanting any to perish,
yes.
but for
yes.
all
yes.
to
right.
come to repentance.
Amen.
That's
Jesus.
Right.
For all
That's
to come
it.
To repentance.
That's it.
You know, I was at a popular sporting store last night because I was buying something. I don't want to say what it was, but I was buying
yeah.
something I enjoy
yeah,
doing recreational fun, you know, whatever.
If they buy advertising, we'll say their name.
That's right. I'll say, yeah, that's right. But I was purchasing. I was at the counter. I was doing all the paperwork that's required with this, and the Holy Spirit told me, pray for this man.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought, okay, there's people to my left, people to my right. I'll try and fit in a prayer here when I'm doing it. My brain slipped. I walked out with this. I got yeah. in the car. I'm halfway home. The Holy Spirit says, you didn't pray for that man.
Yeah.
I turn around on the highway. I'm almost to 86. I mean, I'm more than halfway home. Turn around, I go back to the store. They're about closing time. I run up. I called out by his name because I saw his name tag. I said, hey, man, I want to let you know the Holy Spirit told me to pray for you. And his eyes got really big. I said, I don't know if you believe in prophecy, but the Lord's been telling me you've been yearning for something in your prayer. And he said that he's about to show you that he can overcome, and he's about to do something in your life you've
Thank
been
you.
Praying for.
Yeah.
And he showed me on his phone, because I got to do something the other day that absolutely meant the world to me. And he showed me a video of him baptizing his wife.
Wow.
And he said, this is the thing that I've been praying for. I said, well, you've been praying for
wow,
something else the Lord also is
yeah.
going to bring into
yeah.
fruition. His eyes began to look serious, and he goes, you don't know how much that means to me. But if we aren't constantly living
yes.
with the
yes.
prompting of the Holy Spirit,
yes.
that even if we're saying, well, you know, it's been so easy to say, well, Lord, I'm only 10 minutes from home on this 35-minute drive. Why would I turn around and
yeah.
go pray for this
yeah.
gentleman? I don't know if he knows the Lord. I don't know if he likes the word of prophecy. I don't know.
Yeah.
Why would I go do that? No, if the Holy Spirit says, stop what you're doing right now, because I'll be honest with you, I genuinely forgot.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit said to do
yeah.
it. I genuinely forgot. But the Holy Spirit reminded me.
Yes.
I turned
yes.
around and took the prompting of the
yes.
Holy Spirit. Pastor, how important is it nowadays that we as believers
Thank
are walking
Jesus.
Intimately
yes.
to listen to the Holy Spirit's mm. voice?
Yes. Well, at this stage in my life, I'm 100% perfect in this. I never make the mistake you just made. I never do that. I can't even compute. No.
Yes,
it's
Lord.
Very important.
Yes.
It's important for everyone, pastors,
Amen.
Preachers, prophets, whatever. I mean, you know, and all of us that love the Lord, it's
yes.
important that we do our best day by day to stay in tune to what the Holy Spirit is speaking. Here's one way you can tell if it's Holy Spirit. Usually, if there's any accusation or anything trying to stop you from doing something, that's Satan. And usually, it's in a screaming voice. The Holy Spirit speaks softly to your soul. Yes. Go back, speak to that guy, Ricky.
Yeah.
Go back. Hey, Carl, pray for that. Pray for that one. Now, first of all, Satan would never ask us to pray for anybody. He would never ask us to speak a word of Jesus over them.
Never.
And he would scream. I was telling you before we came out here, we were just talking about preaching and pastoring and all of that. And I just said, yeah, there's hardly a Lord's Day that goes by that I don't go home from preaching a message where people were saved. And I go home, and in the car, I hear this voice. Yeah, who do you think you are? Man, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have said this. You should have done this. And I'm just getting deeper and deeper. And before I say, smut face, shut up.
Yeah.
I know who this is. This is not the Holy Spirit. This is the accuser of the brethren.
Yes. That's right.
Right? Yeah. And so you just have to kind of stay in tune to that and then be obedient. Yeah. Like me. Think of me. What would Carl do?
I often think, what would Carl do?
Yeah. No, we're being funny. We're being sarcastic. No, we're just admitting that we are also living in Satan's world.
Right.
We are in bodies of flesh, but greater is He who's in us.
This is amazing what you're teaching, because I hope you're understanding what's taking place. You are the common denominator in this factor of this conversation.
Yeah.
When Jesus heard that Lazarus was dead, everyone around him panicked except him. He was the game changer. When he walked in, the statistics changed.
Everything changed.
Everything changed.
The world changed.
I want to tell you something. You may got a call from your friend saying that their daughter is dying. Maybe somebody in your family is losing their business. And everyone is panicking around them. Yet, when you walk into the room, the statistics changed. The moment changes. The whole atmosphere changes. Not because of how great you are, but how great the God in you.
In you.
Yes.
In
yes.
you. Listen to me.
That's good, brother.
I want to tell you something. When you understand what Pastor Carl just explained, when we understand the kind of power we hold under the name of Jesus Christ and the authority we carry.
By no other name.
It changes the statistics in the room.
Mm-hmm.
It changes the environment of the hopelessness that people feel around them.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I want to be a game changer.
Amen.
I want to change the statistics the moment I walk into the room. I have experienced what you just said. I experienced the moment that when everybody around is panicking because someone in the family is dying. Yet, when we walk in the room, the atmosphere changes.
Amen.
The statistics change. I want to tell you something. Until you understand the authority that you have under the power of Jesus Christ, you will never change your atmosphere. Your answer will always be, I'll put you on my prayer list. I'll pray for you. A lady called me a few days ago and said, my daughter has been trafficked and getting ready to be shipped to another nation. Two gang members came in and lured her in, and now she's in a hotel somewhere. We don't know where she is. I could have easily said, I'll pray for you. I'll put her on my prayer list. That was the moment that God said, walk in now.
Yes,
Lord. I walked into the conversation, and the moment my words began to come out, the first words were, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
The atmosphere is about to change. Listen, something happens when you walk into the room and hopelessness is gone.
By the power of Jesus.
Within 2 days, they found the girl.
Praise God.
Amen.
They arrested the two men.
Amen. Yes, justice be done.
I want to tell you something. The authority that we have, Pastor, changes the atmosphere for healing,
that's right,
for restoration. Listen, Pastor, minister on that one moment, because this is powerful, because a lot of you, just like Ricky, you walk into the room, the atmosphere changed.
Yeah.
Something in this world has to change, but the thing is, we have to walk into it.
Yes.
Stop retrieving. Stop going into the bunker. Stop hiding and stop running away. As believers, we run into the fire. Yet, we do it under the most powerful authority that has ever given to mankind, under heaven, in heaven, on earth.
Everywhere, that's right.
Everywhere, Pastor.
Yeah.
The blood of Jesus.
Listen, I'm going to to tell something that my church knows, and it was witnessed by a lot of people. And I'm going to begin by saying the thing is, everything you've said is exactly right. And I have been made more and more aware of this through my ministry. I started to make a joke, say, I get it. I knew it all. I don't. I'm still learning. I'm still learning these things. And just recently, this goes to exactly what you're saying. There's a woman in our church that everybody knows and loves. She had a stroke. I was out of town for a few days doing media, but I came back in. They'd brought her home. Her left side still wasn't working, but they had her on medications and everything, and they were going to start doing rehab. And they had to take her back to the emergency room the day I got in off the airplane. And they called and said, are you here? Could you just come see her and pray with her and be with us for a little bit? I said, absolutely. I'm here now. I'm on my way. So on my way to the emergency room, I was just praying, Lord, I don't know what you're going to get me to pray, what you're going to do, but just use me for your glory, for your name. Yes. That was my prayer. Simple. You got to, not that I do this perfectly, I'm just saying I'm learning. You got to keep yourself humble. It's not you. It's the power in you. Amen. It's not your words. It's the words the Holy Spirit gives you. They connect with the throne of God.
Absolutely.
So I get there. I asked the nurse up front, told her who I was, and said, I need to go to that room. She tells me the room. I go back there. Emergency room crawling like ants. I mean, it's busy. I go to the door. The door is closed, the room. I knock just a little bit. And I said, it's Pastor Carl. And her husband said, come in, come in. And some other people were in the room too. She's laying on the bed facing the door. Her left arm is just, you know, totally paralyzed. I walk in the room. She goes, there's my pastor.
Amen.
Now, wait a minute. It gets better. It gets better. I hadn't even opened my mouth yet. Just my presence, not my presence.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah. Presence,
because I'm there.
Carry.
They call me to represent the Lord to them.
Right.
So I'm representing the body of Christ.
That's
and
right.
So I go, I walk in the room and that happens. Now I know people watching right now might be turning off the video. Well, he just thinks he's, no, listen to the rest of it.
Yes.
So the man says, oh my gosh. She goes, oh my gosh. And he says, that happened the second you walked in the room. I said, it's not me. It's not me. I'm just here on behalf of the Lord. I'm your pastor. I love you guys. I've known y'all forever. I just want to pray over you. But this is the first time she's lifted her hand. He said, the doctor just left here. They've been doing everything for days, for days. And she couldn't even budge. She just raised her hand. She did it again. And she kept doing it while I was in the room.
Wow.
It was healed. So anyway, I said, well, I need to let the nurse's station know so they can inform the doctor. You know, medically speaking, I need to do that, but I'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a quick prayer of praise God. This is you. This is you, Lord. So I went up and told the nurse at the nurse's station. I didn't say anything about me. I said I was their pastor. That's all I said. But I didn't say anything about what they said. As soon as you walked in the room, I just told her, I said, listen, I was just in the room and she's moving her hand now. She said, really? And I said, yeah. And I said, I came in and she started raising her hand. And then the nurse countenance changed. She said, oh, she's been doing that for days. Well, that nurse lied.
Mm.
And I found out later, I think she was convicted when she found out I was a pastor. That's all I said. I didn't say anything about anything else. I just said, I'm her pastor. And oh, she's been doing that for days. And I said, it's not what the family says. Are you sure? Do you know? And I told her name. Oh, yeah. She's been doing that for days. I said, okay. And I thought, well, maybe they were confused or something. So I went back to the room. On the way to the room, I see this doctor coming down the hall. And I'm starting to go in the door. And he says, are you going in there? I said, yes. Are you her doctor? He says, yes. And I said, well, has she been raising her arm for days? He said, oh, no. He said, I'm her doctor. I was just in here a few moments ago. We're trying to get her. I said, she's raising her arm now. Mm-hmm. He goes, what? I said, yeah. And he said, when did this happen? I said, well, I witnessed it when I walked in the room. She raised her and she said, my pastor. He said, I'm a believer too. Mm-hmm. He said, I know what
Amen.
This is.
Amen.
He walks in. He starts raising her arm and looking at her and everything. And he says, oh, my gosh, here we go. So anyway, she came home. She's been fine ever since. And so, anyway, so this is what he's talking about when Jesus walked in the room. Not that I'm Jesus or you are or we are. It's just we are representatives now of the body of Christ. Go into all the world, represent me, be my witnesses, be my ambassador. You know what an ambassador is? I represent Jesus to the world as though I'm speaking his word. Well, I should be.
That's right.
And when I do, and when I represent him well, he often honors that. Yes. Not for my glory. I got to give him the glory, otherwise he'll take it. But that's just saying there's a real life example. It's really embarrassing for me to share it to the world because I know there are people thinking, ah, he's lying. He's whatever. No, no. My whole church knows I'm not. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I know the truth. Yeah, and I know the truth of God's word. And I'm just backing up what these men are teaching.
Well, we have delegated authority from Jesus Christ. You know, I recently preached a sermon. I said, you either have eccentric authority or you have delegated authority. And eccentric authority is because of who you are. Delegated authority is because of who you represent.
Exactly.
We represent the power of Jesus Christ. We represent the Holy Spirit. We represent that blood that was shed on the cross. You know, I'm reminded in Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 18, this is out of the RIV, it's the Ricky International Version.
Yes.
That's a joke, by the way.
Yes, that's not real.
We see Jesus, a leader comes to him and he falls down before him and says, please come, my daughter's dead. I need you to raise her from the dead. So Jesus, it says, he begins to go that direction because, you know, he has the power within him because of who he is. He has that eccentric power. And in the middle of this story of him on his way to there, we see the beautiful story we see, we hear all the time in church of the woman who touched the hem of his garment.
Yes.
He's on his way to this little girl who was dead. And this woman says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. So she presses through the crowd, a woman with an issue of blood who's supposed to be screaming, I'm unclean, to let everyone around her know, I am not worthy to be in your presence. She simply knew if she could get in the presence of Jesus and touch the very hem of his garment. So what does he say? He says, who touched me? Mm. I love it. The Bible says, you know, the disciples are practical men. They said, what do you mean who touched you? There's people bumping all around you. There's people pressing up against you. What do you mean who touched you? He says, no, I felt power leave from me.
Yes.
And that woman was laying there. I can only imagine the feeling that she would have felt whenever she touched it. And he's saying, who touched me? Because my human nature would go, I don't know who touched him. I don't know. If, you know, even if it was me, I don't know who was it. Because you realize, you know what? I am humbled before the power of God. He goes, you are healed.
Yes.
He had granted that. And then he continues on. He goes, he walks into this room. He says, everyone leave. This girl's not dead. She's simply asleep. Mondo, just like you said, when Christ walks into a situation, and whenever you seek Christ out, everything changes. Those are two beautiful examples. Why? Because he's about to walk into a room in the first part of the story, and the other one is a girl desperately seeking him out. I believe both situations, the common denominator, like you said, Mondo, is simply the fact that Jesus was there.
Exactly.
Simply the fact that his presence was known.
You're absolutely right. And you know, and I mean, we see that again at Lazarus. What I love about that account of the woman touching his hem, though, she went from an outcast nobody. Watch this. To just a person in a huge crowd. And at the end of her exchange with Jesus, Jesus called her daughter.
Daughter.
Wow.
She went from an absolute nobody to just a person in the crowd, but by faith she touched the garment. And she wept at his feet. And he said, daughter, your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
Daughter. Went from a nobody to a daughter, a nobody to a son we can be. It's him. It's not us. It's him. That's why I said I was almost embarrassed to tell that story. I'm not embarrassed for the gospel. I'm not embarrassed for the power. It's just I know people that don't believe their minds, their eyes have been blinded. They're thinking I'm claiming some kind of healing power. No, 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 not at all. Not at all. I preached a sermon some months ago in our church because I've been there so long. And I said, you know, a lot of people get up and say, well, where are the miracles? Miracles aren't happening today. I said, let me take you back to the day I got here to where we are now and let me recount. And I started going through, right up to that and a few other things that have happened since then. And people were weeping in the pews. One of the things I said along the way, I said, and you know, they talk about raising the dead. Well, nobody raises the dead anymore. Well, we've got a cemetery behind our church. I said, well, I'm not going to go out in the cemetery and test God. I said, but let me remind you. Now, I'm going to say this. I've said it many times. I'm saying it on your new show. In the early days of our ministry, there was a young woman that had pregnant. She had several miscarriages. She had been back to the doctor with a baby. The doctor said, there's no heartbeat. Well, that happens a lot. She kept going back because she just couldn't believe it. She wouldn't accept it. No heartbeat, no heartbeat, no heartbeat. She got a second opinion. No heartbeat. You need a DNC. No heartbeat. So she comes to church and she says, please pray for me. Mm. I don't want to lose this one. And I just simply said, listen, I don't have the power to do anything, but I do from the Lord. Yes, I can. Lord. We can represent, the church can. I said, may I lay my hand on your shoulder just to represent the church? She said, yes. I walked back to where she was. I put my hand on her shoulder. I asked the rest of the congregation to stand and agree with me in prayer. And I said, let's keep it humble, folks. I just said, Lord, your will be done. We don't know your total will in this, but we're going to pray. You've told us we could pray for healing. You've told us we could do the things you do. We're not naming it and claiming it. We're just praying for this precious woman and this child inside of her. And I'm praying, Father, if it is your will, please heal this baby and comfort this woman. And I said, I know regardless of what you do, she's still going to love you and serve you.
Amen.
Like Job, though he slay me, yet will I still serve him. Yes. That's the attitude we need to come with.
Amen.
So I pray. She was due the next day for a DNC. She went in. The baby's heart was beating.
Amen.
That baby is now over 30 years old.
Wow.
His children have arrived.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm telling you, so I told the church, yes. I said, you want to talk about raising the dead? He still,
right.
He does it, not us.
That's right.
He does it through
that's
his
right.
body when it glorifies him. Jesus didn't go throughout the land when he was here for 3 years and raise all the people out of their tombs, but he's going to.
Yes.
He's going. He didn't go throughout and heal every lame person or deliver every demon, but he healed lame people. He drove out demons to show the world
yes.
that God was among them.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's why he occasionally uses us in these huge things yes. to show the world that the body of Christ is still alive and among you.
Amen.
That's right. And I believe if you're not a believer, there's never been a better day to become a believer in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Right now is your moment. You just simply have to pray a prayer. I no longer want to be the person sitting on the throne of my heart. Jesus, I give my life fully over to you. I recognize myself as a sinner in need of a Savior, and I recognize you as the only Savior that can get me to heaven with my eternal Father. I want you to get in a good Bible-believing church. Go get baptized. Go post on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest. Make a YouTube
Amen.
Video. Go
Amen.
Live. Anything you can do to tell the world,
yes.
I am a believer in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Believer, you're not promised an easy or perfect life, but you are promised eternal security
yes.
in Jesus
Thank
Christ.
You.
And that's what it's all about. Have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. And remember this, that God loves you.
Mm.
He really does.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
Amen.
For
Pastor Jim and Lori Baker invite you to the Ready Now Expo at Morningside USA for 4 power-packed days of Bible prophecy and end times preparedness. Join us Thursday, April 11th through Sunday, April 14th. Dig into end times Bible prophecy. Attend informative workshops and sharpen your preparedness skills. Shop exclusive deals at the vendor booths, product tables, and stock up on survival essentials. You'll also enjoy hearing from our special guests as a member of the live studio audience of The Jim Baker Show with our special guests, Pastor Steve Ciccolante, Reverend Dave Robbins, Joshua Giles, Rick Joyner, and many other leading experts and teachers. You can join us in person or watch the live stream online. Registration is required, so visit our website at readynowexpo.com. We can't wait to see you there. Our mission is to fulfill the great commission of Jesus Christ to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every person. We want to thank you for standing with us and your support. To see more content like this, go to watchjimbakershow.com. Remember, like my dad always says, God loves you. He really does.